welcome to the Buckmaster Show on this Wednesday, the 23rd of November, Thanksgiving Eve, 2011. I am Bill Buckmaster. We're going to begin today with a newsmaker interview with Ron Barber, District Director for Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords. At 30 minutes past the hour, we will check in with our friends at the Gospel Rescue Mission here in Tucson, where Thanksgiving always comes a day early. And then we will close out the Wednesday edition of the Buckmaster Show with a conversation with Richard Fimbres, Tucson City Councilman representing Ward 5. I kind of hesitated there thinking, you know, I know it's Wednesday, but it feels like Friday because of the four-day weekend. Buckmaster Show home base, of course, is KVOI, AM 1030, Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station, and our simulcast partners, KJAA, AM 1240 in Globe, and our friends in Cochise County listen to the Buckmaster Show out of KAPR AM 930. We have live streaming of the show at buckmastershow.com. KVOI.com also has live streaming. And our show continues to grow the opportunity for you to listen to the program anywhere at any time. You can, of course, hear the program at buckmastershow.com. It's also available at TucsonSentinel.com. And thanks to our new agreement with the Tucson Citizen, the Buckmaster Show is available 24/7 at TucsonCitizen.com. We encourage you to be part of the conversation. You can call us on the Buckmaster Show live line 790-2040. We also take your email questions at BuckmasterShow.com, or you can submit them using the Buckmaster Show Facebook page. Well, one person who has more to be thankful for than most this Thanksgiving is Ron Barber, the district director for Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords. Mr. Barber was by his boss's side when the shots rang out on January the 8th. The shootings left 6 dead and 13 injured, including Representative Giffords and Mr. Barber. Ron Barber and his family have created now the Fund for Civility, Respect, and Understanding to raise money for anti-bullying and mental health awareness programs. Ron Barber, good to see you.
Great to be with you today, day before Thanksgiving. You're absolutely right. There's so much to be thankful for. Our family certainly feels that way.
Give me some of your thoughts on this Thanksgiving Eve, about your life over the past almost 11 months since that horrible day. When you think back, Ron, is it a blur still, or is the clarity of that awful Saturday still with you?
It's very much with me. It, in fact, was with me throughout the tragedy itself. I was conscious, I'm pretty sure, for almost the entire time. I may have faded out for a second or two, but I saw everything that happened, at least in our area. And the first time I remember that I was not awake was after I came out of surgery. I had gone into surgery within an hour of the shooting. So everything is very clear, and I've spent a lot of time, I think this is not uncommon, trying to put the pieces of the jigsaw puzzle together with help from other people who were there and doctors and so forth. So I have a pretty clear picture of what happened there and what happened afterwards, and it's still with me.
And the people that have helped you along the way, the tremendous help you have received, you couldn't have done it alone, could you, this recovery?
Absolutely not.
I think one of the headlines at this point is the long road for the survivors since January 8th. That would be very appropriate.
It sure is. You know, it's something that I'm learning to get used to, I guess. I've always been a pretty high-energy person, up early and work early and to work early and then home late. And now my fatigue is taking the better of me. I can't get up as well as I used to, and I get fatigued in the afternoon and then early to bed. But so that's part of what I'm dealing with. But I think for everyone, the emotional trauma of the day is something that we all live with, and we're trying to, however we do it, work to manage. It's without my family, without first of all the citizen heroes who came to our rescue, and the medical personnel. First of all, I wouldn't be here. But then the community support has been just overwhelming. It's been so full of compassion and prayers and goodwill, and I'm really grateful for that.
Do you feel, was there any time there on January 8th where you saying to yourself early on, you're not going to survive?
Well, there was a moment, actually, that I remember so clearly. First of all, I didn't realize I'd been shot when I fell. I was in shock by then, I don't know. And then I realized when I saw the pool of blood that I had been shot. And then, of course, I saw Congresswoman Giffords lying just a few inches in front of me on her side. And I began to fade out, as I remember. I was closing my eyes, and the thought that went through my head at that time was, if you close your eyes, you'll never open them again. And I started seeing images of my wife, Nancy, my children, my grandchildren. And I think I forced myself to open my eyes. In fact, a doctor who came to my aid said that when he came there, my eyes were closed, and all of a sudden I sat bolt upright. That must have been the moment when I was going through those thoughts. But yes, after that, I was able to be conscious about everything else that was going on.
Were you at a point where they could have lost you? I mean, how critical were your injuries? Where were your injuries?
Well, first of all, I was shot in the face, in my left cheek, and it went down inside my cheek, so the trajectory was very lucky in a way. It came out the back of my neck about a millimeter from my carotid artery, so that was the first, if you will, good luck that I had that morning, or miraculous support I had that morning. The second part, which ended up being more serious, was the bleeding in my leg. I was shot through the thigh, came out my hip. It severed the femoral vein and nicked the nerve, and I was bleeding profusely. Had it not been for the quick support and attention of a shopper, her name is Anna Ballas, who came out of the shopping center, or the supermarket, put her hands on my wound and kept them there, pressed hard, for about 20 minutes until the EMTs could get to us. If it hadn't been for Anna, I know I would have bled out. The doctor said I would only lasted 5 minutes had she not been there.
Ron Barber is with us, January 8th shooting survivor, and of course he is the district director for Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords. The supermarket event, the supermarket on your corner event, really had been a staple of what Congresswoman Giffords, she believed in getting out and meeting every people, letting people come up and say hello. And so some of the thoughts that must have been going through your mind, this just can't be happening in Tucson.
Certainly that. You know, this was the 21st Congress on Your Corner. And we actually were returning to the site of the first Congress on Your Corner, which took place in January of 2007. And the Congresswoman herself loved the Congress on Your Corner events, even though they were grueling and long in terms of, you know, sometimes they went 4 hours. She was always there to see everyone to the last. And she believed very strongly that, and still does, that as a member of Congress, you can only do your job if you're in contact, direct contact with the people you represent. And she really loved this opportunity to meet one-on-one or two-on-one with people. And she was very excited. In fact, I got an email from her the night before the Congress on Your Corner. She arrived back in Tucson, and look, she said, I can't wait to see you. We haven't seen each other in about 3 weeks. Good to be home, and I can't wait to be at Congress on Your Corner in the morning. And she had the words fun with an exclamation point at the end of the memo or the email. And I knew that that was something that she loved to do, and we were looking forward to another one of those events.
Ron, I don't know if this has ever come up before in any of the interviews that have been done since the shooting, but had she ever had any kind of concerns or premonition about this shooting?
I think there were some concerns because we had been experiencing events, the first of which was what was at a Douglas Congress on Your Corner, where one of the people in line, a gun dropped out of his pocket, out of his coat, I guess, and fell onto the floor. Then the night of the health care reform bill vote, after we had left the office at about 1 or 2 in the morning, someone shot out our window and our door, which was a glass door. And so that was certainly, those were sort of warnings in a sense that things could get pretty violent or potentially violent. And then, of course, as the campaign ensued last year, it was one of the most vitriolic and harsh and personally demonizing campaigns that she had ever been in. And we could see a lot of, you know, threats that were coming in by email, by phone, in person, people saying the most vile things about her and to her, in fact. So, you know, the tensions were there. And I know that we had at least two or three conversations about the possibility that someone might rise to the level of violence against her personally.
How is Gabby doing? She is in town for Thanksgiving with the family.
Yes, she got in last night. She always loves coming home. This is Tucson is her home, and she can't wait to get back here. She's in Houston primarily because that's where her therapy team is located. But when she can be back here, she is delighted. She's here. She's with her family now, and will be here for just a couple of days, meeting with family and friends. She's doing extraordinarily well. I think people who may have seen the Diane Sawyer interview saw her. That was actually about a month ago when that was filmed or the interview was taken. So even since then, there have been greater improvements seen.
When was the one-minute audio clip done? And the reason I ask that is because I thought Gabby sounded very good. Considering everything that's happened, I thought she sounded very good in that one-minute audio clip that we ran on this show and that was released to the media.
Well, that clip was done, I think, just about two or three days before the Diane Sawyer interview, perhaps over that weekend. And she really wanted to do that. She was very clear that that was something that she had to do, wanted to do. She wanted her constituents to hear from her. She didn't want them to have to buy the audio book, you know, to hear from her. She wanted them to hear directly from her. And she worked to write that and to record that interview or that message. And we sent it out, I think, the next morning, the morning after the interview on television.
The question you're asked all the time, is Gabby running again? And what do you tell people? How many times a day Ron Barber, do you get asked that question every day?
Practically every day, all of the time, depending if I'm in an event, a luncheon or a dinner or whatever it might be, scores of people have that same question. And I know it's a question on a lot of people's minds, obviously. But here's what she's doing right now. She is 100% focused on her rehabilitation. And it's a very rigorous program. She does 3 hours of physical therapy every morning, 3 hours of speech therapy every afternoon. She travels for her physical therapy to Tier Memorial, an hour each way with lunch. So she's got a full day just to do this. And she's intent on getting better, and her hard work is paying off. The truth of the matter is I have never spoken to her about running for office again. I wouldn't bring it up until she brings it up, and she hasn't. She will bring it up or decide when the time is right for her. But right now, she's 100% focused on her rehabilitation.
It's 12:17 on the Buckmaster Show. Rose, I think we will take this would be a good time to take our break so we can hear from the fine Buckmaster Show sponsors. Then we will continue. Lots more to talk about with Ron Barber. We want to talk about the Concert for Civility that is coming up in January. There is the Beyond event, and all that's coming up with Ron Barber as we continue on this Thanksgiving Eve on The Buckmaster Show.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Ever notice how much time you spend just getting where you want to go? Travel hassles, long drives, expensive parking can all ruin your trip and create a miserable experience. Tucson International Airport has the answer. With close, easy parking, quick check-in, a short walk to your gate, and airport amenities that make traveling stress-free and enjoyable. With nonstop destinations and connections around the world, for business or for pleasure, fly TucsonAirport.com. It's the way to go.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise.
East Fort Lawn Dodge for Karimi Oriental Rugs and KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
With 2 out of 3 people in this country overweight, you're not alone in wanting to shed some pounds. Now you can lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope. The physician-supervised program created by renowned Tucson cardiologist Dietmar Gahn and certified nutrition counselor Elizabeth Gahn. To learn more about Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, call 696-DIET or log on to dietofhope.org.
Vero Amore presents Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza using fresh, homemade mozzarella and the finest quality toppings. Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero Amore. Casual yet upscale dining with an extensive boutique wine list. Vero Amore in Tucson on North Swan at Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com. And now in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoAZ.net.
Back with us on the Buckmaster Show, Ron Barber is with us. He is the district director for Congresswoman Gabrielle Giffords, and of course he is a January 8th shooting survivor. Let's talk a little bit, Ron, about the Concert for Civility. The first one was held last March, featuring 15 acts, and now the tickets are on sale for the second annual Concert for Civility.
That's right. We're going to have another concert on January the 15th at the Fox. It's a Sunday night, three-day weekend for many people since it's Martin Luther King Day the following day. We have the headliner is Ben Folds. We, of course, have Calexico, Congresswoman Giffords' favorite band, and they will be there with Mariachi Luz de Luna, who played frequently at the UMC Memorial, Salvador Duran. We also have Mitzi Cowell and her friends who were singing a wonderful song that they composed about our community, the positive nature of our community after the shooting, and the Silver Thread Trio. And the newest addition is a drummer and a person who will be chanting from the group Odaiko Sonora. And actually, it turns out they were chanting and drumming every night outside of the memorial at UNC. So we've invited them to give an invocation at the beginning of the concert. It should be a lot of fun. I think it'll be good for people to be together as it was the first time. Music is healing, I believe, and unity can come through music as well. So we're excited to have yet another concert to promote.
And the Fund for Civility, Respect, and Understanding, established by you and your family to raise money for anti-bullying and mental health awareness programs, is administered through the Community Foundation of Southern Arizona. Those folks do really fantastic work, and they asked me to pass this along to our Buckmaster Show listeners. They knew I was going to be interviewing you, that as the stories and observances, memorials, and other events related to January 8th are now developing, they wanted to let everyone know that the Tucson Tragedy Support Line still is available for anyone having difficulty dealing with feelings related to the event. Now, this is anonymous. It's a free phone line. It's established and overseen by the Community Partnership of Southern Arizona. They set this up immediately after the tragedy. I want to give that support line number out. It's 284-3517, 284-3517, and you'll be hearing a lot more as we approach the one-year anniversary. They do a great job, don't they?
They certainly do, and we have been working a lot with the mental health community and agencies such as CPSA. To develop our mental health awareness campaign, which we'll be launching in January. Our anti-bullying campaign is already underway. We're in Tucson Unified School District, the Arizona School for the Deaf and Blind, and other districts will be joining us shortly. You know, mental health issues come out of bullying, so it's all kind of connected. And we're very fortunate to have some outstanding agencies here in Tucson. And what, just one last thing about this. We anticipate that when January 8th, the weekend, rolls around, the first anniversary, there may be a lot of emotions that come up for people, not just those of us who were there. But in my sense of it is that the entire community was really traumatized, deeply wounded emotionally by what happened. So we will have mental health services available for anyone who feels the need for counseling or support during the weekend and the week leading up to and following January 8th of 2012.
Also want to talk, get your feelings on the outdoor-focused Beyond event, Beyond dash commemorate, celebrate, and commit. Now, this is scheduled for Saturday, January 7th, that one, and perhaps this will be the an event the first Saturday of every year.
I think that's the intent. The Zimmerman family have put this together. They've done a fantastic job of bringing together literally scores of people who are interested in helping. And it's about the outdoors. It's about getting people out of their homes, into parks, onto trails. Gabe Zimmerman was a great outdoors person, loved to hike, loved to run, and this is an opportunity to celebrate his life by all of us participating in some physical activity if we wish, and it'll be all levels of activity people can participate in. That's the Saturday, the 7th of January, the day before the first anniversary.
And there is a growing coalition of local partners that I want to bring up here that is coming together for this January 7th event. Among them, these are some great groups, the Beat Cancer Boot Camp, the Christina Taylor Green Memorial Foundation, Meet Me at Maynard's, and the Arizona Trail Association. So Tucson Medical Center is also signed on as one of the initial sponsors.
Right. Yeah, great community support for this effort, and I'm glad to say for our Fund for Civility, Respect, and Understanding, we've received so many people wanting to help, and that's why our task forces are full of people who are not directly involved with our advisory board. We've been very fortunate to get community support for our anti-bullying and mental health awareness programs.
The work goes on at your office. I know you're very much focused on constituent services. I saw some survey that ranked your office one of the top congressional constituent services. You'd really do care about the work that goes on.
That's absolutely our top priority. When Congresswoman Giffords asked me to head up her transition team and then be her district director, she said, "Ron, I want to have the best constituent services office in the country," and we have strived to do that. Our staff are fantastic. They were on the job, 48 hours after the shooting, receiving calls from constituents. We had a lot of well-wishers, of course, but in that first month after the shooting, the number of constituents that we took in to do casework for increased by 23% in just 1 month. The publicity about our office was one thing, but I think people know that our staff really are very tenacious in trying to help people navigate federal agencies. And one of our biggest groups, of course, are veterans who are very near and dear to the Congresswoman's heart.
And, of course, this program, The Buckmaster Show, is heard in Cochise County, and you have an office in Sierra Vista.
We do, and they do constituent work out of that office as well.
The remaining 2 minutes, how were you aware of all the tributes going on with all the flowers on the lawn there at UMC in the immediate days after the shooting? What was your condition?
Well, I was in the ICU, and I wanted to go to the president's speech at McHale. They wouldn't let me, so I watched it on television, although I was very fortunate that the president and first lady came to visit me in my hospital room. No, I had heard a lot from my family and friends who were visiting about the memorials, not just the one at UMC, but also the others. So I said to my wife, "I have to go see this before I leave the hospital." So they thought, well, this is going to be difficult. They wheeled me down there, and two very strong people lifted me over curbs and made sure I got to in the middle of the memorial. It was so touching, so moving. I have to admit, I wept when I saw the tributes that people had brought. I was able to put a flower on a tribute to my dear colleague Gabe. And it was very touching, and I was so impressed with how our community came together to support us as well as each other.
How has this community changed, Ron Barber?
I believe our community has always been of kind heart, but I think it's even been more obvious in the days following and the weeks and months now following the shooting. The number of people who have called, emailed, see us in public, who come up with tears in their eyes saying, we wish you well. But most of all, people want our community to be known as a community of peace and love and compassion. And that's, I believe, who we are and what we have shown in the days and weeks following.
Ron Barber, I hope you have a wonderful and happy Thanksgiving, and thank you for being on my program.
It's my honor and pleasure. Thank you so much.
Ron Barber with us. Pastor Roy is coming up next. We're going to talk about what's going on over at the Gospel Rescue Mission, where Thanksgiving has already come.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. For a fifth day, police in Cairo have been clashing with protesters demanding that the military generals, now in control in Egypt, give up power immediately. Family members in Missouri say they've heard from Derek Sweeney, one of the three American college students who were arrested during demonstrations in Egypt. Airports along the East Coast are seeing some major delays in takeoffs and arrivals today, but aviation officials report few other disruptions so far on this day before Thanksgiving. Over the holiday period, more than 42 million Americans are expected to travel at least 50 miles from home. Updating the Wall Street numbers, stocks sharply lower, the Dow down about 215 points, the NASDAQ off 55, the S&P 23 points in the red. More details at srnnews.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our citizens realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and create a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in and support of education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's Pima Community College students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a literate, prosperous, thriving Tucson and Pima County. During these extraordinarily tough times, our funding is in serious jeopardy. And as budgets get even tighter, we'll have to cut back services just when people need us the most. So please support us in our ongoing effort to build a better tomorrow. Help us provide the education and resources that the people of Pima County need today. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us on the web at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Since 1959, Assistance League of Tucson has helped thousands of disadvantaged men, women, and children in the Tucson area. Donated items, thrift shop proceeds, volunteer hours, and financial gifts help support our philanthropic programs like Operation School Bell. Your generosity continues to change lives in our community. For more information on how you, too, can make a difference, visit us at assistanceleaguetucson.org. Assistance League of Tucson, volunteers working together.
Everyone's piling on big banks nowadays, with good reason. But still, you're skeptical about moving your money. We get it, but let's think about that. If you're worried about convenience, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has local branches and thousands of fee-free ATMs nationwide. If you're worried about service, at Pyramid, you're a member. At big banks, you're a number. There's a difference. And if you're worried about savings, Pyramid Federal Credit Union has better rates and fewer fees than big banks. Like our great low 4.5% APR on new, used, or refinanced vehicle loans with terms up to 60 months. Plus, save another 0.25% with payment options. So Pyramid wins on convenience, service, and savings. If you're still skeptical about moving your money, try us out. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life. Visit pyramidfcu.com to learn how. 4.5% APR on vehicle loans for a limited time. Restrictions may apply. Membership eligibility required. NCUA insured.
A simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top-quality, custom-made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pedorthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call, 795-2553, or visit him at Arizona Lemon Brace, Rosemont and Fifth Street. Your feet will thank you every day.
Thank you.
12:34 on the Buckmaster Show on this Thanksgiving Eve. You think you've got a long shopping list for the holiday meals? Listen to this from the Gospel Rescue Mission. 310 turkeys, 3,500 hot dogs, 103 pounds of cranberry sauce, 200 pounds of corn and beans, 6,600 dinner rolls, 2,610 pieces of pie. And joining us now on the Buckmaster Show live line is Pastor Roy Tolgren from the Gospel Rescue Mission, where Thanksgiving comes a day early. Pastor Roy, how are you?
I am blessed. Things are going great. How are you doing, Bill?
I'm doing very well. Tell me about what's going on over there during the noon hour today.
Well, we're having our annual Thanksgiving street banquet, and yes, we do it the day before Thanksgiving in order to get people an extra meal today and then the Salvation Army tomorrow so they can have two meals this week. But we're doing this banquet from 11 o'clock until 2 o'clock, and then any food left over we're going to do carry-out bags at 2 o'clock. So lots of food.
And Pastor Roy, you do this so there'll be an opportunity for these men and women and their families to get another meal tomorrow as well.
Yes, that's why we do it a day early, to give people two meals. You know, when you're hungry and you haven't eaten in a while and you can't afford a turkey, to be able to get a nice turkey meal 2 days in a row is a great thing.
Tell me, for those that aren't aware of the work that you do in this community, the Gospel Rescue Mission, give us a little bit of history. You've been around a while, a long time actually, and you've been helping a lot of people.
Yes, we've been around since 1953, so it's been a few years, and we operate two centers, one for women and women with children, and another center for the men. We started out just a men's center back in 1953, helping the hobos, the guys who ride the rails in and out of town. And so we do emergency services at both locations for people that are homeless for whatever reason, new into town, could be domestic violence, could be out of prison, could be drugs and alcohol. And now what we're finding, Bill, is more and more people are coming to us economically poor and economically homeless. They've lost their jobs and then their apartments, and they've never been homeless before, and they're scared to death to live on the streets. So that's really our first basic type of service we provide, and that's anywhere from a few days up to 3 months to help people get back up on their feet in an emergency. Then we also provide long-term recovery, addiction recovery programs and education programs, and it's residential treatment for a year to a year and a half, self-paced programs at both our men and women's center. We help people get off drugs. We help them get their GEDs, get jobs. We give them classes on parenting and hygiene and budgeting and anger management and boundaries to give them skills to equip them to live independently in a successful manner. And so we do that. And in addition, the third service that we provide is what we call community ministries. And that's food boxes, clothing, household items given out to working poor families, not the homeless, but working poor that are on the brink of becoming homeless. And maybe the refrigerator breaks down, they can't afford a new one. They can come to the mission and receive a free refrigerator. We don't have a thrift store. Everything we get in, we give out free to people who need it.
Pastor Roy is with us from the Gospel Rescue Mission in Tucson. I'm sure you have heard, as the community has, that the community holiday food boxes will not be given out this year by the Community Food Bank. Are you having also difficulty with the financial situation in supporting the mission's work?
Well, it is difficult. Our income is pretty much flat the last several years, but considering most places are cutting back, we feel truly blessed in that we have what we need right now in terms of food and food boxes, and we're housing and sheltering more people than ever before, and somehow the bills are getting paid. And we truly believe a big portion of that is because we are a faith organization. We are a Christian faith organization, and we have the support and prayer support of a lot of people around town, the financial support, volunteer support, as well as prayers. And we feel that God does some divine intervention with the Gospel Rescue Mission, and we seem to be provided with the things we need to really meet the needs.
It's over 6,000 meals that will be served. Is that correct, this holiday season?
I think that number that you have there in front of you is our anticipated Christmas banquet December 21st, because we serve about 1,800 children in addition to the adults. The banquet today, most kids are in school. We do have children here today. And so this banquet's about half the size of the Christmas banquet. So it'll be over 3,000 meals, or around 3,000 this year, which we anticipate up about 500 from last year because of the economy.
What can people? What can people do? Will a couple of dollars truly help at the rescue mission? I mean, would that even pay for a holiday meal?
We've calculated that it costs about $2.05 to provide a meal, and that's throughout the year as well as the holiday meals. And people can send in as even a dollar will help. But the interesting story: my granddaughter, 5 years old, received our fundraising letter in the mail. She got the mail up with her mom and says, "Oh, look, there's Poppy's mission. They help hungry people." And she took $2 and a nickel out of her piggy bank and sent it in. And on the little holiday card, drew some pictures and put her name on the holiday card to give to somebody. So even a 5 year old can use piggy bank money to buy a meal for somebody in need.
What kind of meals are supplied throughout the year there at the mission?
Anyone who stays at the mission is given three meals. They get a breakfast meal. If they're working, they get a sack lunch to go out. If they're in our program, they get a lunch here at the mission, and then an evening meal. And we have just some tremendous meals, just wonderful food, healthy, nutritious, and quite tasty. And so three meals a day. We serve approximately at our men's center. We serve approximately 400 meals a day, and at our women's center, we're serving about 250 meals a day.
Any trends that you can share with our listeners, Pastor Roy, as far as homelessness in our community?
Yes, we have the typical chronic homeless that have been around for quite a while, people that are mentally ill, for instance, and they really can't work. They're not stable enough mentally and emotionally to hold down a job. And those that are addicts as well, we have that group of folks in our community. And there's a total of somewhere between 5,000 and 6,000 homeless people in Tucson. But what we have seen, Bill, in the recent, starting about a year or so ago, almost 2 years ago now, is an increase in the economically homeless. These are people who've never been homeless before, and they're coming to us scared to death to live on the street, but they've lost their job, they've lost their apartment, they're embarrassed. They're saying, you know, I've worked my whole life, I've always had a job, but I don't have two nickels to rub together. And so we're able to allow them to stay here, get a job, stay several months where they can save up money for first and last month's rent and utilities and get back up on their feet.
If anyone would like to help out, and I hope they do, the Gospel Rescue Mission, how do they go about it?
Well, the easiest would be go to our website, which is grmtucson.com. So it stands for Gospel Rescue Mission, grmtucson.com. We have information about the programs that we offer. We have information on volunteering if people would like to volunteer. We need lots more volunteers. And then if they'd like to donate, there's a link for that as well, Bill.
And I have in front of me your Gospel Rescue Mission Holiday Hotwire, your newsletter, which came to the Buckmaster Hacienda, and I'm sure many people received it as well. And there is that opportunity right there to complete holiday dinner, $2.05. You can't beat that, Pastor Roy.
No, you can't even get a cup of coffee for that anymore.
Have a blessed, happy Thanksgiving, Pastor, and we'll look forward to talking to you again. Thank you.
Thank you, and you have a great Thanksgiving, Bill.
Thanks a lot. Pastor Roy Tallgren with the Gospel Rescue Mission here on our Thanksgiving Eve Buckmaster Show. City Council member Richard Fimbres, lots to talk about. That's next as we continue with Buckmaster.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways and the launch of Sun Express and Sun Shuttle Transit services, with 30 projects underway, including the intersection of Alvernon and Valencia and Camino Seco to Houghton along Speedway Boulevard. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Listed on the National Register of Historic Places and founded by Isabella Greenway, Arizona's first congresswoman, the Arizona Inn is still the standard bearer for luxury hospitality in Midtown Tucson, just minutes from the University of Arizona. Founded in 1930, the Arizona Inn continues to win top honors for hospitality and dining. Travel and Leisure magazine names the Arizona Inn one of the top 500 hotels in the world for 2011. And the Arizona Inn is proud of its AAA four diamond status for both the hotel and dining room. Whether it's for breakfast, lunch, or dinner, or a private event, you can count on Chef Allison's featured seasonal culinary creations to please. The Arizona Inn, a special oasis of hospitality in Midtown Tucson, 2200 East Elm, and on the web at arizonainn.com.
Want to lose weight? You're not alone. Two out of three people in this country are now overweight. Using Dr. Gahn's Diet of Hope, created by renowned cardiologist Dietmar Gahn, you could lose 5 to 15% of your body weight in just 6 weeks. The program teaches proper nutrition and uses no drugs or artificial foods. Most insurance is accepted. To learn more, visit dietofhope.org or call 696-DIET.
Taste pizza as it was meant to be at Vero More, Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan pizza, topped with the finest, freshest quality ingredients. Enjoy casual yet upscale dining while sampling our extensive boutique wine list. Vero More in Tucson at North Swan and Camp Lowell, Dove Mountain in Marana, and on the web at veromorepizza.com. And now open in Oro Valley, Noble Hops, the Tucson area's first gastro pub.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of healthcare in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at splendidoaz.net.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Well, 47 on the Buckmaster Show on this Thanksgiving Eve. We invite you to visit buckmastershow.com. You'll see the Buckmaster Show pledge. Simply put, listener opinions matter. Respect the audience. A forum for ideas, quality guests, and informed listeners. That's our show pledge. Moving on to now Tucson City Council Member Richard Fimbres, a Democrat representing Ward 5. Council Member Fimbres, how are you today?
Good, Bill. Good afternoon to you on this eve of Thanksgiving. We have lots to be thankful for in our community.
What are you most thankful for, Councilman, on this Thanksgiving Eve?
I think that we went through some of the hardest economic times this last 2.5 years, 3 years, and I think our community has came together and kept moving forward in these tough economic times. And I'm very thankful to the citizens of Tucson and to our city staff that kept this great city moving forward.
You will be sponsoring something titled the Tucson Means Business Forum, the Tucson Means Business Forum, and that's coming up, I believe, Wednesday, November the 30th, 6 to 8 p.m. And what's that all about?
Well, Bill, we wanted to again, we know that we live off of business, the sales tax, so we need to continue to stimulate the business community, and there are a lot of questions from small businesses. So this is a forum that we're pushing that will have city departments such as finance, business licenses, developmental services, procurement, the Small Business Enterprise Office, and they'll all do presentations on what it would take for business owners, for those wanting to open a small business in our community. Also, we'll have Pima County One Stop, Pima County Health Department for restaurants and business handling, food, business development, finance corporation, the Micro Business Advancement Center, the U.S. Small Business Administration, and in addition to what we've been doing in Ward 5, we'll be all there on Wednesday the 30th over at the Fred Giacosa Job Corps Center, which is on 901 South Campbell Avenue. It's a great opportunity. It's free, and we welcome everybody that's interested to learn more about how Tucson runs its businesses to come on out.
Can folks learn about streamlining the process and obtaining a C of O, a certificate of occupancy?
Yes. Ernie Duarte and his staff will be there also, and they will be able to explain some of the things that we've been doing with helping small businesses get on their feet, taking in a vacant building that's been vacant for years, and because it was a restaurant there, we can move in another restaurant that wants to open it up a lot quicker, which helps us generate more sales tax.
In Ward 5, what are your constituents, the small business owners, telling you right now, Councilman?
Well, they're telling us to help them. I think that we got lots of movement in Ward 5 with the bridges, the biotech project going on with the university, the Costco just opening up. We have Walmart coming on there, but they want to hear about more opportunities. And the other thing they want us to do is continue to push to create jobs and get some of these folks back to work.
How is that Costco doing there in your ward?
Well, Bill, it set some records. The first day we opened up, normally a Costco, when they break ground, it's 140 days to build it. They did it in 110. And on the grand opening, a great day for them is $600,000. They did $730,000 that first day. They also gained 700 new memberships that day. So it's been gangbusters. Every day you go by there, you see the parking lot is full with folks. The great thing about it is folks from Sierra Vista, Fort Huachuca, Sahuarita, Green Valley, Nogales, Arizona, Nogales, Sonora, are all coming over here to shop. They get on I-19 or I-10, and they get right off and go right back. And it's been good.
Do you see the new mayor-elect Rothschild being more business-oriented? Do you see this whole council being more toward the business industry?
I think in the last 2.5 years, we've seen a lot of progress with the small business community and with the business community. The CFO changes, the land use code changes have all been put in place to help and benefit the business community. I think that Jonathan will do a great job. He's business savvy. He's got great leadership skills, and he'll continue to move us in the right direction to get Tucson back on his feet.
You were one of the architects of the proposal bringing forward having the all vote by mail. Now that we have had our elections, the first to use an all mail ballot system, what's your report card on the election?
I think it's done well. I think that an increased turnout and participation for the primary and general elections, most votes cast since 1999 in both the primary and general elections, it's reduced cost. It helped us with staffing and renting of locations and equipment. And I think that if you look at the wards, you're going to see an increase in every ward in the city in voter participation. So to me, that's what we wanted to do. We wanted to get citizens to turn out and vote and have their voice be heard. And I think that's we need to continue to bring this forward and to continue to work on it for future. But I think the numbers are showing that it was a positive way to go, and plus it'll save us money.
The city council voted unanimously yesterday, I believe, to direct the city staff to continue holding discussions with Humberto Lopez, and he is the owner of the Hotel Arizona downtown. He's put forward another proposal. What do you make of all of this?
Well, I know that the hotel downtown is right. The stop for one of the modern-day streetcars is right in front of the hotel. So that is a key component of the puzzle that we need for downtown revitalization. There's a lot of comments were made in executive session. I know the mayor and council did not take any action on the item, but directed staff to bring this agenda item back to be able to to have a complete discussion on the issue. My concerns are there are questions about the GPLAT financial option. What are the risks to the city of Tucson? What are the benefits to the city of Tucson? Who would be the city's financial responsibility for backstopping any financial financing or bonds? And what happens if the agreement is voided, either through failure to reach an agreement with the hotel line construction or improvement or otherwise? So these are questions that I know that the city manager and his team are looking at and are going to be working on. So we want to make sure that we have a good, solid product for the citizens of Tucson.
If the deal happened, it would allow Mr. Lopez to retain the taxes generated on his site in order to fix up his hotel. Is that the basic understanding there?
I think that that's part of the GPLAT, which stands for Government Property Lease Excise Tax. That's part of the practice. The structure of a GPLAT usually involves deeding property to a local government. This results in it being removed from the property tax rolls. The property is then leased back to the private owner with a lease that confers all incidents of ownership. The government merely holds title but has no financial responsibility for the property. So that's one of the avenues that we're looking at. I know that the county has used this system and many cities throughout the state of Arizona, especially up in Maricopa County, have used this.
It sounds like something must be done in 2012. I think you would agree about the TCC, the Tucson Convention Center. Is that one of the items that's going to be certainly at the forefront on the agenda in the new year?
I've been pushing that. I think that the charge from the state legislature was to do the hotel and to focus on the TCC. We're not doing the hotel right now, so we are focused on the TCC, and I'd sure love to work closely with the Rio Nuevo Board, simply on getting the TCC the simple basic renovation it needs to maintain the gem show and some of those conventions that have come to us year in and year out and help them. And I think those are things that we need to do. I think that we are in working on mediation with the Rio Nuevo Board. I think we need to learn to crawl first before walking with them and then start moving forward. But TCC, I think, is paramount that we get going on.
And it seems like something has to be done to kind of resolve this dispute between the Rio Nuevo Board and the city. Would you agree?
I agree with you, and I think we've gone the extra mile. We've offered the olive branch several times, and we continue to do that because we need to move forward. I think the citizens of Tucson want to see the Rio Nuevo Board and the city of Tucson Council work together for the improvement and improving the quality of life for all Tucsonans in our area.
No city furloughs through June 12th. That's some optimistic news for the people that work for the city.
You're right. And on April 26th of this year, the mayor and council had approved a plan that if the reserves fund remained at the figures it was, I think it was $22.8 million, spending was reduced and revenues had increased, that the remaining furlough hours for fiscal year 2012, which was January through June 30th, would be eliminated for fiscal year 2012 only. Now, furloughs won't be automatically be a part of the proposed fiscal year 2013 budget, but it's still an option. I think our city employees, the 9-day furloughs has really impacted them. That was equates to about a 3.5% cut in pay, plus their benefits. We've had to pay more into them. They have as individuals, and they've been through a lot. Plus, through attrition, we've seen a lot of them go. We're looking at about 292 employees leaving city government at the end of the year through retirement.
How do you think Richard Miranda is doing as city manager?
I think Richard is he's hit the floor running. He's made some key decisions early. He's out there talking to the community. I think he's doing well. He's got support of the city council right now to do what we need to do. And, you know, we're in some very crucial times. The modern-day streetcar has to be successful. We've got to get the Rio Nuevo Board and the city of Tucson moving forward, because these are all pieces of the puzzle that need to come together so that we have a better Tucson.
We'll look forward to having Mr. Miranda here with us on the Buckmaster Show Friday, December the 9th. Richard Fimbres, I wish you and your family very well this Thanksgiving. Have a happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you, Bill. And then also remember that today usually kicks off all the task forces throughout the state of Arizona to keep impaired drivers off our roads and our streets and keep our streets safer. So while we're relaxing, our law enforcement officers and our firefighters are going to be out there hustling and working to keep us safe. So keep them in your prayers also.
I will. Richard Fimbres, thank you very much for being with us, and have a great Thanksgiving.
You too. Be safe.
Thanks a lot. The Buckmaster Show brought to you in part by our friends at Flowers, Rieger & Associates, Certified Public Accountants. Want to wish them well and you well. All the Buckmaster Show listeners, have a very happy Thanksgiving. Enjoy.
KVOI, Cortero, Tucson. 930 KAPR Douglas and 1240 KJAA Globe, the Voice Radio Network.